The Prime Minister announced this afternoon that New Zealand will be withdrawing all troops from Iraq by June next year. This marks the end of a military mission which began in 2015 when New Zealand and Australia began a joint mission training Iraqi government troops at Camp Taji in central Iraq. But what was our role in Iraq and why has the decision been made to bring it to a close? Dr. Al Gillespie is an international law professor at the University of Waikato and he joins me now. Good evening, Dr. Gillespie.
Good evening.
First of all, a bit of a 101, although most of us know this, but what role did New Zealand have militarily in Iraq?
We were primarily in the training role, and since 2015, our troops are responsible for training at least 30,000, with the Australians, at least 30,000 Iraqi soldiers.
That's an awful lot of soldiers.
It works out to about 25% of their military. And so that even though we weren't involved in the actual shooting, our contribution to defeating Islamic State has been very significant.
Really? So you mean training, like a full day's training every day until they're ready for war?
Pretty much. And not just in terms of like the basics, like showing them how to shoot, but also like teaching them what the rules of war are. So not only were they sort of like turned into effective military men and women, they were also turned into people who knew the responsibilities of how to behave on the battlefield.
From our context?
From the international context, because there's rules of war no matter what country you're in.
Right.
And in a place like Iraq, that was very difficult to implement because you're fighting an enemy like Islamic State who had no regard to rules of any kind.
So they were following rules and were made to follow those rules, because I know that's one of your specialist subjects, isn't it, rules of war?
Yeah. And so a lot of it's, because, I mean, it's once the Kiwis go, I mean, you're still going to have a military there. So it's about trying to get them in the right pattern so that they just do the most basic things. So, like, you know, you keep prisoners alive when they surrender. You don't attack civilians. You show respect where it's meant to be done. You show respect to the Red Cross or the Red Crescent. And so our troops have been doing a lot of great work there. And I think best of all, we've had no losses as well. And so to actually have been involved in a war zone and come back with no casualties, it's incredible in itself.
Yes, and we only ever heard the word training. We didn't extend beyond that, as you've explained. I suppose it makes sense when you say it, that we would have trained them so intensively.
And the way that the Prime Minister Key sold it was that they'd be behind the wire. And
that's so right.
That was necessary because it was a very politically difficult decision to make. I'd say maybe 51% of the country supported it and 49% didn't. And I think by saying that they were behind the wire gave them enough impetus to get it over the line and for the deployment. And it was difficult because this was a bilateral mission, as in like we were asked by Iraq to go there and we were supported by America behind the scene, giving us a good push to help out. It was not a United Nations mission, and so that made it somewhat politically difficult.
And it was the current government who extended that placement last year. What's changed in the last year, Al?
I think the conflict with Islamic State has now ended, and that particular enemy has been destroyed with its capacity on the battlefield. There's always going to be a risk in that part of the world that other groups will reform in some other conglomeration. And so there's always going to be that need to be careful there. But the risk is that you keep soldiers there indefinitely when the original mission is passed. And so like we saw that with Afghanistan. So in Afghanistan, you went in to fight al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda disappeared, and then you end up fighting the Taliban, and you're there 18 years later. And so with this instance, to go in and fight Islamic State, they've gone. Now's the time to leave.
Have they actually gone, or are there still pockets left?
They will never disappear, but they'll just keep reforming throughout the region. And so the longer-term battle against groups like Islamic State is that you've got to fight corruption, you've got to create employment, you've got to create a stable state, so that the people don't get drawn to that kind of ideology. But that practice takes decades, and that's the thing that's better done under the UN flag than it is under a bilateral flag.
What's the political situation around international involvement in Iraq now?
It's tense right now, and the main reason it's tense is not because Islamic State has largely disappeared, but Syria is not yet settled as a war, even though most of the shooting has stopped, the country is divided. Turkey is particularly antagonistic towards some people in the region. But the biggest risk right now is with Iran, and America is trying to create a bulkhead against Iran, which means that they want more troops in the region. And so the more flags you have from different countries, the more support it looks like you've got. So even though our government has made the decision to pull our troops back, I imagine there would have been a fair bit of pushback behind closed doors for them to stay.
But we ignored it?
It would appear so.
Were you surprised by that?
No, it was the right decision to make. I think we've achieved the objectives of what we went out for, and we've had no casualties. And to stay now as the situation changes only involves risk. I think there's still a case for New Zealand to be involved, but that could be in a humanitarian front. It could be in training police officers. It could be sending over bureaucrats on how to fight corruption within bureaucracies. But the military aspect, I think, is now done.
Al, Green Party defence spokesperson Gulruz Gurriman says that this move's warmly welcomed and that New Zealand must, quote, put our efforts towards humanitarian aid, peace building and support for our neighbours in the Pacific, unquote.
Yeah, that peacekeeping works when it's regional. It's much better because people know the neighbours. The more you put peacekeepers in, like Kiwis into Afghanistan or Kiwis into Iraq or Kiwis into parts of Africa, it's often more difficult because they don't know the context. And so it makes sense to focus on the region. And New Zealand's peacekeepers have a great reputation in the Pacific. But sometimes conflict is such that you've got to deploy your forces in areas where they're not comfortable.
Has our involvement in Iraq been significant for New Zealand politically, do you think?
I think it's been very significant. I think it's led to the complete thawing of the relationship where we had difficulties with America over our anti-nuclear policy. And so that goes back to the mid-1980s. But now I'd say America and New Zealand are as close as we've ever been in decades. And so I think it brought a lot of goodwill with the Americans. I'm not sure how that translates with the current administration, but New Zealand's still in Afghanistan as well. So I think we're definitely doing our bit for that bilateral relationship with America.
We're staying there for a bit longer, by all accounts. But by 2020, there'll only be just over something like 10 or 11 people there?
In Afghanistan?
Yes.
That's what the count is at the moment. And that number will stay until eventually you have a peace deal in Afghanistan. And they're talking about that at the moment, and they've been talking for the last year. But the problem is, what do you do about issues like human rights? How do you have a ceasefire? Who's the legitimate government? And so even though they're talking, they're not really close to it, in which case America and the allies, including us, are kind of stuck there until they can get that breakthrough. But right now it's probably orange more than green or red.
And just personally, what's your opinion of New Zealand's involvement in these conflicts that we really had no part in creating?
I think we were right to be involved in Afghanistan as a UN mission. And I also think we were right to be involved in Iraq, because I think the threat of Iraq falling to Islamic State was extreme. And had it happened, then the entire Middle East would have gone up in flames. So it was the right thing. I think it's impossible to predict the future, but New Zealand should be willing to step up where we are called by the United Nations in particular, or else when there's a particular threat like Islamic State that a country's going to fall and we go in with good friends and good support.
Well, Gulruz Gurriman, who I mentioned before, she says that she would like to see New Zealand as an independent, principled voice against war, and this is a positive step for our country. What's happened now? Is that ever likely to happen? I mean, as you say, you can't predict the future, but for New Zealand not to be involved in any conflict at all?
I think war is madness, and to be involved in it is the worst possible situation. But unfortunately, it's there. It's always been there for the last few thousand years, and I can't see it disappearing anytime soon. In which case, you've got to start thinking, what's the reasons and justifications you will go for war? And they have to be much more convincing than they were in the past, like with World War One or with the Boer War. And so then countries need to be much more critical of why they go in. But with regards to the one at hand with Iraq, I think it was the right decision.
Al, thank you very much for your time tonight.
You're welcome.
That's Dr. Al Gillespie, an international law professor at the University of Waikato.